Hello and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your speaker, Chris McCann. If you'd like more information or to hear more studies, visit our website at www.ebiblefellowship.com. And now with your evening Bible study, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the Book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 20 of Revelation chapter 9. And we're going to be looking at verse 7. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. Now, as we've been going through this chapter verse by verse, we have consistently maintained that the locusts are pictures of true believers. And that is so because, well, of the information we're finding here, but also because the way that God paints the picture of Judgment Day throughout the whole Bible. Judgment Day on the world is not the same as Judgment Day on the churches. There are similarities. There are very close similarities because he speaks of the cup of wrath being given to first to the church and then to the nations of the world. And so there is similar language, but there is a difference as far as who is carrying out the judgment. When God brought judgment on the churches and congregations, what was one of his main vehicles for doing that or bringing that judgment to pass? It was the loosing of Satan. And we read in Revelation 20 verse 7 that after the 1,000 years he was loosed, and that would agree with the end of the church age back in 1988. And then we read in Revelation 11 that the beast ascended out of the bottomless pit. And immediately the two witnesses were slain because God abandoned the church and the two witnesses were a figure of speech to represent the testimony of the word of God within the congregations. It ended. It was as though the word of God, the Bible, died within the church because it lost all power. It no longer had power to save the hearers. As the Holy Spirit gives that power and God's Spirit abandoned the congregations. And so God used Satan and his emissaries, false prophets, false gospels, the signs and wonders gospel, tongues movement. God used all of the false doctrine that sets the church above the word of God, where the church becomes the pillar and ground of the truth in the minds of those within the church. Not in actuality, it's always the Bible itself, God himself, that is the actual pillar and ground of the truth. But many churches set themselves over the word of God and so forth. And this all worked together to bring greater and greater destruction and desolation to the church that was under the wrath of God. Now, once we get to the day of transition, May 21, 2011, the end of the Great Tribulation and the beginning of the final judgment on the world, an expansion of the judgment on the church now to include all the unsaved inhabitants of the earth. Once we get to that point, we do not find the language of the Bible that speaks of God loosing Satan or using Satan as an instrument, as a vehicle, in the same way that he did for bringing destruction on the churches. Nor do we find God using false prophets in the same way. But actually what we find is at the very beginning of Judgment Day. It says in Revelation chapter 19 in verse 19, Revelation 19:19, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse." So the Lord Jesus, who is seen in Revelation 19, riding a white horse, and the armies of heaven, which followed him also upon white horses, they won the battle. They were victorious in the day of judgment. And the beast, which is a name for Satan, that God gave him exclusively to apply to his rule during the Great Tribulation period, the beast and the false prophet, who also would apply to Satan, but also the church that took upon itself the image of the beast, the image of Satan. Satan and the false prophet were cast into the lake of fire. Judgment Day, which began on May 21, 2011, is a time in which Satan is deposed. God is judging him and his kingdom, Babylon, and that would include the churches, that would include all of the unsaved people of the earth. God is not bringing judgment, using Satan and using the false prophets or using the unsaved people of the earth. They are not instruments of his judgment as they were upon the churches during the Great Tribulation. Rather, they are the objects of his judgment. They are the targets of the wrath of God. And that is the big switch, the big transition from judging the church. The church was the target and the object of the wrath of God, to judging those that were joyously rejoicing in bringing that judgment upon the congregations, the kingdom of Satan, the unsaved people of the world, and which would include those in the churches. And so we find Christ on the white horse and the armies of heaven, the elect, on white horses with him. We find this is the language of the Bible. Christ comes with 10,000s of his saints. It does not say in the Bible that Christ comes bringing judgment with 10,000 false prophets. And we read that the Lord Jesus, the unsaved, are being tormented. It says in Revelation 14:10, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. Now remember, the locusts are bringing torment. So here the one who is under the wrath of God will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And again, the holy angels should be holy messengers, because it's Christ and his saints. It's Christ and the elect. It, again, let me point this out. It does not say they are tormented in the presence of the apostates or the false prophets, or they're not tormented in the presence of those bringing other kinds of gospels, but in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the overwhelming, consistent teaching of the Bible concerning Judgment Day. We find in Zechariah 14, it says in verse 5, "And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and Jehovah my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. God and his people. Remember what was said in 1 Corinthians? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it said in verse 2, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And just a quick reminder, of course, you know already that these saints are just true believers. Everyone who becomes saved is made holy by the atoning work of Christ. Their sins are washed away, making them a saint in God's sight. And do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Now God used Satan and hordes of false prophets to bring about utter destruction of the congregations when judgment began at the house of God. That is not his methodology for judging the world. The saints bring the judgment. It's a reversal of fortunes. It was Satan and his army, it was Gog and Magog, the masses of wicked that came against God's people, or those that once were the people of God, those that were the outward representatives of God's kingdom to the people of the world. And Satan came with the unsaved in mass to bring that destruction upon them. And God's people were like sheep and lambs that were being scattered and driven out of the congregations. And of course, God finally called them out, and he took care of them upon the mountains of Israel as he fed his sheep personally through the same way he always does, through moving in others to will and do of his good pleasure, to reveal truth to them, and they in turn to the great multitude, just as Christ fed the multitudes who sat down in companies of 50. He break bread and then would give it to the disciples to disperse to those companies. And likewise, the Lord Jesus continues to feed his people upon the mountains of Israel outside of the churches and congregations. And yet when judgment day came, the enemy armies of Satan, who were victorious, they had no problem overrunning the churches and congregations, because God was fighting against the church. God is the one that raised them up to come in the destructive manner that they did against the churches. But now, when judgment day comes, God turns his attention to those that dared lift their hand against God's anointed. Even though God's anointed had become apostate and fallen away, they were still in their profession of Christianity, in their association with the Bible. They were still, in that sense, God's anointed, just as Saul was a wicked king, but he had been originally anointed to be king of Israel, and David dare not lift his hand against him, but some at the end of Saul's life did, and they came to David thinking that David would be pleased, as one of them said, that he had slain Saul, and David was not pleased at all. How dare that man lift his hand against an anointed of the Lord? Those individuals were put to death. Likewise, so is Satan and all those that came against the churches, and God himself is putting them to death. The Lord Jesus and his saints are doing the judging, and God is working out that judgment through the completion of the salvation of all his elect, and in that sense he is using the elect as an instrument, as a vehicle and a means of judging the unsaved, everyone else whose name was not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, everyone else who was not predestinated to salvation, everyone else who did not have that atonement accomplished on their behalf from the foundation of the world. All of these now are the objects of God's fury and wrath, and he and his saints are bringing the judgment. And the false prophets are the objects of the judgment. They are not the means any longer. They are not the vehicle. And this overwhelming, consistent teaching of the Bible is what directs us and leads us as we read in Revelation 9 of Judgment Day, the day the sun is darkened, the day the bottomless pit is open. And then it helps to guide us and direct us in understanding the locust, because God, to, you know, tell you the truth, God uses extremely difficult language concerning the locust. And it would be easy for someone to read this kind of language and determine, well, now, these are false prophets. And they would also, as a result, determine that the king over them, as we read in Revelation 9:11, they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Oh, it is Satan, they would determine. The locusts are the false prophets. The angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is Abaddon in the Hebrew tongue, and that means destruction. And the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon. And Apollyon means to destroy. Well, this obviously is Satan. And of course, matters are made even worse if anyone is familiar at all with Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, which was a fictional account of a work that that man Bunyan did hundreds of years ago that became very popular and has been spread all over the world and has gotten into the minds of people all over the world that Abaddon and Apollyon are names of Satan. It is Satan. And this is a hard thing for people to change. Once you get something in your mind, once you have an understanding that a particular Bible verse or passage is saying one thing, it's very hard to accept it as another. And it is a completely different than that fictional work of Bunyan, the way that he put it. Abaddon and Apollyon are not Satan, and the locusts are not false prophets, but rather Abaddon and Apollyon are names of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we won't get into that, because that would be skipping too far ahead, but it is Christ who is the messenger of the bottomless pit. We find, as we read the Bible, all the comings and goings from that pit have Christ in view. He is the one that has the key that opens. He is the one that shuts up and looses, and he is the one himself that was in the depths of the pit, it could be said, as he suffered for the sins of his people. And he rose from the pit. He is the messenger of that pit, the messenger of God. And likewise, the locusts, since Revelation 9 is describing Judgment Day, are not, they can in no way be false prophets, but they are representative of the true believers. However, it must be admitted, there is language here that seems to indicate and seems to say that the locusts are false prophets. when we read, for instance, back in Revelation 9:3, there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And we saw in Luke 10 how scorpions and serpents identify with the enemies of God. And we'll find as we continue on in this verse where it speaks of the locusts having teeth as the teeth of lions and breastplates as the breastplates of iron, that there is similar language that that would also indicate, or normally we would think would lead us in the direction that who is being described are false prophets. But we have to keep in mind, just as we learn with the reference to scorpions, that God's people are coming with the true gospel. Therefore, they are not false prophets. The true teaching of the word of God in the day of judgment. But that true teaching of the word of God declares there is no salvation. And in this, there is an agreement with the teaching of every false gospel. Not an actual agreement, but agreement in the sense that every false gospel in the world has that one thing in common, even though they teach various and all sorts of lies that can be different from one another. Yet what they have in common is that there is no ability to save in any false gospel. There never has been and there never will be. And now the true gospel of the Bible is like a scorpion, or those coming are therefore like the teeth of lions and so forth, because the gospel, the true teaching of the word of God they are declaring, has that characteristic that there is no more salvation because it is the day of judgment. Well, we'll continue in our next study looking at this, but, oh, by the way, I almost forgot, before we end this study, I'd just like to make a correction. And in our last study, I said that golden crowns always pointed to true believers, and that there was nowhere in the Bible where the unsaved wore golden crowns. Well, a listener pointed out to me 2 Samuel 12:30, and in that verse, the king of Ammon has his crown taken from him and given to David, and it said the weight whereof was as a talent of gold. And that would indicate that he had a golden crown, and the king of Ammon was not saved at all. So I was incorrect in making that statement, that nowhere in the Bible does it say that anyone but true believers wear golden crowns. It does indicate in 2 Samuel 12:30, and there is another reference in another account in Chronicles that says the same thing, that there was this king of Ammon who had a golden crown. So that was incorrect. It doesn't change the truth that true believers are said to have golden crowns, as we read in Revelation 4:4, or that the locusts are representative of true believers. But I do want to make that correction. If you were following along in the last study, please, if you made any kind of note, please dismiss that and do not pay any attention to that. But thank you, and we'll close our study now, and the next time we'll continue in verses 7 and 8 of Revelation chapter 9.
Thanks for joining us for eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies. You can hear these studies Monday through Friday over Paltalk, Skype, eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over your phone. For more information or to hear other studies, visit www.ebiblefellowship.com. Until our next study, may the Lord's perfect will be done.